it's quite familiar that when you're dealing with a poysek in general, a poysek has to be very careful how he conducts himself. I believe something like maybe 40 years ago, I heard from Shmuel Vosner, Zechon Elbrocha, when he was in New York. They mentioned that sometimes Bechlal, Echosh Ve'id, he says, the way he behaves, that's a psak halacha. Because people see if he behaves that way, so that's obviously acceptable. Which means to say is that, in Adam Choshev, not only Paskins, you know, when you ask him a shayla and he says, this is the right thing, and this is the right thing, this is not the right thing, but invariably, whatever he does, that automatically becomes a psak halacha, that people expect that that's the right thing. And therefore, it's a behooves someone who's outstanding to make sure that he's extra careful in what he does. Because again, because whatever he does, it's not just about himself, because many people come to learn from it and think that that in fact is the appropriate behavior. The Gemara tells us many times that tzaddikim have a very special shmira. That ena kodesh baruch hu may be takol the tzaddikim. Kodesh baruch hu makes sure that tzaddikim, they're not nichshol, even b'shoygig. A lot of discussion with Rishonim what it applies if it's dafka by food, not to stumble on eating something that's not kosher, without getting into that situation. But Chaim Volozhin had a daughter who was named Chasya. That's what she was called. She was called Chasya. And she was married to somebody whose name was Mordechai Kamenetsky. She just happened to have the Kamenetsky name at that time. And there was a particular time that she'd moved away after she got married. And Reb Chaim from time to time would write letters to his own daughter, which is a common thing. It's a particular situation here, but to find someone who's going to that direction. Not like today, just drop into the mailbox and to whatever address you put on, it's going to get there. You have to find a shliach, you find somebody who's going over there. If you go there, you gave him the letter. And that's what he did. It just happened that as soon as the person left with the letter, he called him back in. And Reb Chaim sort of like rewrote the letter. And his son, Reb Itzel Volozhiner, who is a great god in his own right, he took a look at the letter. There's no secret inside the letter. And he said, I don't understand why you call him back. It's identical to the first letter. The second letter is exactly the same as the first letter. So why'd you call him back and rewrite the letter? So Reb Chaim mentioned, he said, I'll tell you. Because my daughter's name is Chasya, and she's called Chasya. So the tendency is to spell Chasya the way it sounded. Ches, Samach, a Yud, and a Hey. However, Reb Chaim had a whole tshuva writing that the real name is Chasa. Ches, Samach, Aleph. It just so happened that in the first letter he wrote Chasya, the way it is pronounced. So therefore he called back that they should, and the second time he wrote it, to spell it the way he felt Api Aloch it should be spelled, and that is Ches, Samach, Aleph. So Reb Itzel just said, what's the big deal? So he spelled it Chasya, he spelled it Chasa. You know, my Nafkimine. She knows she's called Chasya, so whatever you're going to write it, it's good, it's fine. Well, Maisa turned out that a number of weeks later, the daughter came to Volozhin to visit her father. And Reb Itzel actually spoke to her brother. Reb Itzel Volozhin spoke to his sister and regarding various things about the family and so on. So she was saying, not unbeknownst to that whole episode, she received that letter, but unbeknownst to that what occurred, so she says to Reb Itzel, listen, I'll tell you what, something happened. He says, there's a Rav in town, his name is Rabbi Elimelech, the Rav of Lida, because that was the place where the daughter lived, it's called Lida. And there was a shaila about writing, particular spelling, the name Neget. Rabbanim who are Masada Gittin know that one of the most difficult issues regarding to be Masada Get is the Ksivas Hashemus. The common name is no big deal. Somebody's called Avram, we know how to spell Avram. Somebody's name is Sarah, we know how to spell Sarah, we know how to spell Rivka. The problem is when you have certain names, in the sense is they are mixed with, let's say a person's name is Samuel, just for example. The different ideas how to spell Samuel. It's called Sam, his name is really Samuel, but they call him Sam. Somebody's name is Doiv, but they call him Beryl. And the question is how to Doiv, Beryl, how to actually conform with all the different ways that a person is being called, the real name, substitute names, and so on and so forth, to really get it right and to be able to write, because if the names are not correct, then the whole get is possible. So there's a shaila about Ksivas a get regarding the name The name Chassia, how's supposed to write it? So there was a whole shaila. The Rav of the town wasn't sure. Chassia, this way, that way. So then the Rav said, that quite simple. He says, we have in town, he said, Chaim Volozhin's daughter. She's here. I'm sure she has letters from her father. Let's take a look and see how Rav Chaim Volozhin spells it. And in fact, he saw it spelled not Chassia, it's spelled Ches Samach Aleph. So this is said, look how Kodesh protects a God like my father. That he had no real knowledge that this is going to become an enough communal halacha of how he writes his daughter's name. But the fact that he had this inkling, he had this instinct, he had this yata d'shmaya to have the letter rewritten and to write it, because one day, you know, that people are going to look at his way he spells the name and he can use it in how to write a get. So this is just another incident of how the Sati Dishmaya of an Adam Godel, he says, he was very spoiled with this, he says. You are the godless, he says, of his father, of Chaim Volozhin. But again, to see again, not always, this is Yerosa Kodemus of Chochmoso. He had to be a Chochom. But the great Yerushimayim that he had is to make sure that whatever he does, it should not be a Michshel Metachas Yodoy. Agavuche, there's a Rav wrote a sefer on, many years ago, wrote a sefer on Gittin, his name was Zubyankov, Rav in Boisk, a place called Boisk. So he writes and says, it's very shayach, he says, he heard actually from a Talmud, that the idea that why Reb Chaim spelled the name Chasa, which is Ches Samachalos, because in the Gemara it is found that Chasa, the Mashmoyos of Rachmim, the Chas Rachmon alone, for example, one of the meaning of Morer is Chasa. That's one of the meaning. The Gemara says that it would be a good mean to use for Mora because it's called Chaso, and Chaso means it's a remnant that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis on us, the Chas Rachmon Alon. So he writes there that he had heard from a Talmud that Reb Chaim also, he gave the name of his daughter Chasya, but really he meant Chaso, and that's why he wrote it. Really, the spelling should be really Chaso. He put out the nickname Chasya, but really Chaso, that was really the real name, because based upon the Gemara that the Chas Rachmon Alon. It's just talking about these situations, it's kedai to mention another nekuda, and that is, we spoke about the daughter, again, called Chasya, in the Sefer called Avi HaYeshivas. The Sefer Avi HaYeshivas, which of course referring to Chaim Volozhiner, and brought down that the Brisker Rav said he heard this from his father, Reb Chaim Brisker, who was related this incident regarding Reb Chaim Volozhin, okay? And he brings down that Reb Chaim had another daughter. Her name was Esther. And that daughter Esther had one problem. She was hard of hearing. And you can imagine, you know, when it comes to do a shidduch, it's not so easy to do a shidduch when somebody has a hearing problem. This daughter Esther, Reb Chaim Volozhin's daughter, had a hearing problem. Reb Chaim also had a Talmud who was a tremendous ilui, a genius. And the Talmud's name was Reb Hillel. It's not just the Talmud was so choshev, also his father's name was Reb Simcha. He was from the Rabbanim of Herodna, and was considered to be one of the Gedol Ador. So the Mechitin is very, very tzuga past the Ramish. And also, but the Ikar of the Talmud, is a very, very choshev Talmud. So the mother of the Bacher of Hillel, she came, you know, she wants to see what we're talking about. Maybe Reb Chaim's daughter, but let me see before we agree to the Shidduch. And soon enough, of course, she found out, not that it kept it a secret, that there was a hearing problem over here. So being that, so she said, she's not masking to the Shidduch. She's not masking. Can't happen. So fine, so she goes back home, and on the way home, the axle of the wagon breaks. Not letting her go home. So in the meantime, she goes back to Volozhin, and she sort of like raises her voice to Reb Chaim and says, are you trying to force me to do the shidduch against my will? Somehow it's your koyach and b'shem shemayim that the axle of the wagon breaks. Reb Chaim said, Adrav Chalila, he says, go in peace. Go home in peace, go to Shalom. Anyway, Lamaisa Reb Chaim had a lot of desire for that shidduch. It was mentioned because this Bacher Hillel was a very exceptional Bacher, as mentioned, and he had a lot of other milas. Reb Chaim's Rebbetzin happened to have a small business on the side. She would sell fabrics, dry goods, and in order to buy schoiras, so she would sometimes, with the schoir that she needed, sometimes it was in closer areas, sometimes in further areas. A particular time, which was a very opportune time to buy schoiras, was when it was the county fair in a particular town. It was called the Yerid HaMefursim, the county fair in a place called Zevlo. That's the name of the place. So Reb Chaim says, you know, it's a good idea that you go to this place, Zevlo, take advantage of the county fair to buy schoiras that you need. And by the way, while you'll be there, I know that Reb Simcha happens to be not far from there. Reb Simcha, the father of the boy that I'm interested in, Reb Hillel. And maybe try to talk to him, that maybe try to influence him. They should agree that his son, that should to do the shidduch. So Kachava, this is, she agreed, she'll try to speak to Reb Simcha, the father of Reb Hillel. It took a long time to travel, it's not like today, to go to that place where it was the county fair, and so on. And way before his wife comes home, telling him whatever occurred, Reb Chaim just comes and he says, Mazel Tov, he says, Mazel Tov, a Mazel Tov is coming to me. My daughter Esther became a Kala. And the Atkele Kach, he said, right away he gave some tikkun, he gave some leker, he gave some schnapps, and so on and so forth, he gave some kibbut, the Olam Takput to celebrate. And it was a half of a fellow, because there was no way that any communication could have come to Reb Chaim to let him know that his daughter, in fact, became a Kala, and so on. And where the Maisa goes, that Reb Chaim was so certain that the Shidduch was completed, not just blind faith that he just believed it, that matter of fact is, he even wrote down on a piece of paper, wrote down the time, he says, when that occurred. Way before any communication. Obviously, then a few days later, his wife comes down, his Rebbetzin comes back, and she tells him, she didn't know he knows, he says, guess what, Mazel Tov, our daughter became a Kala to Reb Hillel. And B'chaim says, when did it happen? She says, exactly 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on a Monday afternoon. Mamshik, exactly the way it happened. It was a tremendous, it was an astonishing thing that B'chaim really, so it came to, the usual thing is, B'chaim, you have Ruach HaKodesh, I mean, how would you have known? How would you know? And the way Gedol Yisrael always have a way of trying to, minimize anything or any suspicion that he even had Ruach HaKodesh. Reb Chaim said, that's not the case. Quite simply, he says, I'm not a Novi, I'm not a Ben Novi. Reb Chaim gave the following reasoning. He says, you know how I knew? It's a Feresh Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Novus. The Mishnah says, Batel Ritzoincho Mipnei Ritzoincho. Be Mavatel what you want for what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. No matter what you want, if it's not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, banish that. Be mavatel your rotzoin for Hashem's rotzoin, and it says because then a kodesh baruch hu will be mavatel his rotzoin to your rotzoin. Kedeshase rotzoin chol rotzoinoi. So he said the following: I really wanted the shidduch. I saw that it's not working, so I made a cheshbon that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want it. The moment I felt the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want it, I gave up on the shidduch. I did not think about the shidduch anymore. Once that happened, I knew I'm going to have the shidduch. Because mavatel my rotzon to rotzon Hashem. Because, bro, you don't really want me to have the shidduch? So 100%, I confirmed in my mind, I'm happy with it, and not having the shidduch. When I felt I really was mavatel my rotzon for Hashem's rotzon, I knew that the opposite is going to happen. This is the way he tried to explain away the situation of how he had the hargosha, the feeling what happened. This is a B'chaim illusion. All right, Rabbi Yisrael. So, okay, we go here now to the Ruach Chaim. And we continue with Mamshech. It's a new edition. It's in the Ruach Chaim, where Perek Aleph, and it's Daf Yud Gimel, Vizehu. The paragraph starts Vizehu. Vizehu Inye. Vizehu Inye. Ruach Chaim here developed the idea, if you remember, he brought down that the significance of the name. And again, as we mentioned last week already, that as Reb Chaim posits, and this is the Yisrael that many others, especially in the Sefer Chassidus, point out, that a name is not merely a label, how to identify a person, but a name, actually, that's the essence, that defines the essence of a person. The essence of a person, the neshama of a person, which is connected in Shemayim above. So the name basically depicts the essence of a person. It defines the neshama of a person. That is what a name is all about. And when the Marishan, therefore, as pointed out, gave names, what was the chokhmah of giving names? He said, you're an Ari, he says, you're a Doiv, and you're a Gomel, you're a Camel. It's not just to give a name, but he can get any name. Because the Marishan had the superior chokhmah, he had the divine chokhmah, to be able to ascertain the penimius, the mahus of every animal, what it was made up, the shayrish, the root in Shemayim of every animal, of the life force of each and every animal, what it's made up of, what the shayrish of each, and the name that was given defines the Lashon Kodesh words, not the English words. Lashon Kodesh words, Arias, Aleph Resh Yud, for example. In the Tzuruf Oisius, it defines exactly the essence of that particular creature. That was the Chochmah of Adam Rishon. So if you remember that in the previous segments we had that what basically B'chaim here is developing, and that is that we find, open up, maybe you never noticed it, but could I not realize it? And we pointed out that that's what B'chaim is working to develop, that when you find by the Akedah, when you find the double names, where Kosh Baruch Hu calls out, is Avraham, Avraham. We also find many times, Moshe, Moshe. But the difference is by Avraham, Avraham, there happens to be a line in the middle. So when you have your head to Balkari when he's reading, he says Avram, and he pauses for half a second, and then he says again the second Avram, because there's a line in the middle. If you haven't noticed it, open up the Chumash in the Akedah, you'll see Avram, Avram, because Baruch Hu calls out to Avram, says twice, Avram, Avram, there's a line in the middle. But because Baruch Hu, when he refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Moshe, there's no line in the middle. Why is it between the two Avrams there's a line in the middle? And when it comes to the two Moshes, there's not. So we have to know what the definition of a name. A name, again, a name defines the Sherish Neshama. So B'chaim tells the following, and here we have insight to what the neshama of Yid is all about. And we find out, Rabbi Isai, that the neshama that we have within our bodies is really the bottom edge of the mass neshama which is left in Shemayim. It's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? We have this large neshama, Kodesh Baruch Hu simply cut off a piece, as if to say, the bottom edge, the lower edge, and that is what comes down. It's the lower edge from the real, actual neshama, full neshama, that comes down and is housed and is surrounded by our bodies. Let's take a look. Because again, the name depicts the neshama. The name defines your neshama. So if the name defines your neshama, so if the Torah says Avraham, Avraham, are we talking about two neshamas? The name of the person depicts the neshama. So Rav Chaim says, V'zehu inyan b'kfeilus Hashemus. The Kfeilus Hashem is the fact that Torah repeats double Avram Avram Horishin Moira, the first Avram. And because one calls Avram the first Avram Moira, that is referring to Al Etzem Anefesh, that is really the right, that is really the Ikar Chelik. That's really the main part of the Neshama, which Shoyu Elyon, which is the root in Shemaim, in the upper root, Shisham Ikar Modra Neshama. The Ikar dwelling place of the Neshama, the main dwelling place in Shemaim. Guess what? The main portion of your Neshama is still in Shemaim. The main portion of your Neshama is still in Shemaim. Except, what did Kosh Baruch Hu do? Like Mishtaus from a man, Kosh Baruch Hu sort of like evolved, like extracted the edge, the bottom, the lower edge of the neshama. Mishtausel mimeno miksosel beguf. That a chelik of that total neshama, a chelik would go in the guf. And he points out, ki aguf, you realize, you know, the relationship between the guf and the neshama, he says, ki aguf hurake moy na'ala neshama, like a shoe. So a person has a shoe on the foot, you'll soon see why the mushel is a shoe, of all anything else. So in the same way that the shoe goes on the foot, right, the same way the neshama also has, so to speak, a shoe. That's the body. The body surrounds the neshama like a shoe goes on a foot. The body is like a moina'al. Now, what is the role of a shoe? The role of the shoe is on the bottom of the goof. It's on the feet. And therefore, just like the shoe, einoy malbush, a shoe is not a piece of clothing only. Where does it clothe? Which chelik of the body? Rak l'kseya tachton shel haguf. The now, basically, it's a levush. It's a levush for the lower portion of the guf. Keina guf eno malbish rak l'kseya tachton shel haneshoma. Which means the main portion of our neshama, which we're connected to it though, but that's still in Shemayim. That's not in our bodies. We need Rav Chaim to tell us that. Who would ever know that? So it means is, we always thought that our total neshama is within us. It's not true. As a matter of fact, the main part of our neshama, the greater part of the neshama, is still left in Shemayim. But from that neshama mass, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, the lower portion of that neshama, Kodesh Baruch Hu, so like, brought it down, and now it's in the guf. Similar to a shoe is on the lower portion of the guf. The same thing, the guf is on the lower portion of the neshama. So the guf is the shoe. The guf is like a shoe, and we'll see the significance further. So the na'al nikra haguf, the guf is referred to as a na'al, as a shoe, bechina soifa reglaim. Right? That's what a shoe is. This shoe is soifa reglaim. Soifa reglaim shall neshama. That's why the neshama is called na'al. Why? That's why the guf is called na'al. The reason the guf is called na'al, because it's the soifa reglaim, so to speak, as if the neshama would have feet, it's on the bottom. The neshama, our neshama is the bottom chelik, is the reglaim of the neshama. That's the neshama we have. The chelik and neshama we have is the lower edge, is the lower edge of the neshama. And, the zeh she'omar, so listen now how beautifully. Do you remember Moshe Rabbeinu comes? He sees the burning bush. What should Hashem say to him? Shal na'olecho mal raglecho. Remove your shoes from your feet. Rav Chaim says, it does not merely mean remove your physical shoes. Remove your body. Because the body is something that's physical. Which the body actually in its physical form is not as pristine, it's not as pure. And if you want to truly connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu fully, remove your body. In other words, purify your body that the body becomes pure neshama. Shalom Nolecha. The goof is the now. The goof is the now. So the now is the goof, so there is a chatzitza. There's a chatzitza between the goof and the neshama. Right? There's an obstruction. Because the goof is something that, but the idea is remove the now. Remove the now means remain and purify yourself completely. That the goof should not be an obstruction between the actual neshama, which is spiritual, and the goof, which is, of course, which is spiritual, which is, and the goof, which is, so the following, so it means like this. So think about it in the moment. So, being that we have, there's two parts of our neshama. There's a greater part of the neshama is in Shemayim. The lower part of our neshama is which is in our bodies. The name of a person defines the essence of his neshama. Avram, Avram. That refers to the two chalokim of the neshama of a person. Your name can be Moshe Moshe, your name can be Aharon, Aharon, whatever it is. Every person really has a double name, so to speak. The same name, double. Because the name defines whatever neshama he has. But what's the difference between the two? The difference between the two. The chelik neshama that's in Shemayim. The greater portion of the neshama which is Shemayim, right? That chelik is completely pure and pristine. Obviously, it's untainted, it's in Shemayim. The chelik neshama that came down, the lower edge, listen to this. The chelik neshama we have. The chelik neshama that came down to this lowly world and is surrounded by the goof, that chelik neshama is not as pure. So let's remember now that if the neshama, right, the neshama, for example, of a person called Avram, right, it means the neshama is, if that's Avram, so the idea is like this: Avram is the essence. So the Avram Avram means the neshama which is in Shemayim, which is called Avram. That is the pure Avram. That is Avram in its purest form. Because again, Avram is the essence of the name of a person. Is not just a label. The name of a person defines his neshama. The upper neshama. When I say Avram to the upper neshama, that's referring. It defines his essence. So therefore, it means that chelik Avram is the purest Avram. The second Avram is referring to the second neshama, the neshama that we have in our bodies. It's also called Avram. Because Avram is the name of a person defines his neshama. But that neshama, which is in our bodies, that is not as pure as the neshama that we have in Shemayim. In other words, Avram Avinu, as great as he was, his guf was not as pristine, right? Was not as pristine, together with his neshama, as the neshama up in Shemayim. In other words, there was a barrier. There was a barrier by Avram Avinu, there was a barrier between the upper neshama, he says, and the lower neshama. There was a barrier. There was a barrier. So, Mela, you know what? Avram has a line in the middle to show that the two Avrams are not on the same level. The Avram, the neshama that's in Shemayim, is completely pure. But the Avram, which is the neshama that Avram Avinu had in his body, Avram Avinu did not fully, right, purify means to say that the body did not have, the neshama that's in the body did not come to its complete purity. It should be able to match the neshama that's in Shemayim. That's where you have the line. Let's take a look. So it goes on to say the following. Okay, let's go again. The goof is called the shoe. Because Baruch Hu is the Moshe Rabbeinu, remove the goof. Remove the goof mal raglecho. The neshama is called raglecho. Why? Because we have the edge of the neshama. The legs are on the bottom. Our neshama is the raglayim of the total neshama. So shal nalecho, remove the goof. The goof is called mal raglecho from that lower neshama that we have. That's the bechin of raglayim. Remove that. As is now. So the first Avram again is referring to the upper neshama. That's in Shemayim. V'avram hasheni. And then the second Avram, Meir, that is referring to, I could say, a tachton shel neshama. That's the lower neshama that we have in our guf. That's the lower shenishtal shel beguf. Leave out the brackets there. But that kavan also, and that's what it means when Chazal say Avram, Avram. When you see the two words of Avram, Psik tami begave. There's a line in the middle. What does it mean there's a line in the middle? The line in the middle means Rosaloimer. There's a line of separation between two Avroms. The two Avroms are not on the same Madrega. The Avrom in Shemayim. Avrom again defines the essence, defines the Neshama. The Avrom that Shemayim, the upper Neshama, is on a higher level than the lower Neshama, as he points out. There's a difference between Avrom de la Eile, Shua Nefesh, which that refers to the Neshama in its root in the upper world, Boilam Oyoyim. But the second Avram, that's an Neshama already that's surrounded by a goof. In its lower portions, we said, Yesh Hefsim Begave, Shagufu Mafsik. The goof, you realize, blocks out. The goof is physical. The physical goof blocks out. In other, the body of Avraham Avinu, as pure as it is, Sovkosov, it did not become as pure. That there should not be a chatzitza between the goof and the neshama. There still is an obstruction. There's a separation. His physical did not become so purified, but if in a way to the extent, it should not be a barrier, umafsik, then her oras and neshama by the neshama, you see, the neshama in the upper world, the mass neshama, the ikar neshama, is trying to bring down and have influence on the lower neshama. The problem is the lower neshama is in the goof. If our goof is not pure completely, so therefore it blocks out. It's a chatzitze. It's like a wall. It blocks out from the neshama within our bodies to be able to receive the tremendous oiris of kedusha, the illumination of kedusha. So Avraham Avinu, that means Avraham Avraham. There's a difference between the Avraham and Shemayim, the nishchelik and neshama is in Shemayim, to the Avraham that's down here. Because down here the goof blocks out. And therefore the neshama which is in the goof is not on the same madrega as the neshama that's in Shemayim. That's by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Moshe loy psik tame begave. By Moshe Rabbeinu there's no line in the middle. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in purifying his body, he's kula neshama. And there's no goof. Again, Moshe being, that's the difference. Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in purifying, it's an incredible thing. He succeeded in purifying his physical body, that physical body became the Bechinas Neshama. Aber Moshe went psik tame begave, shen is dachich esle haguf kolkach, that his body became so pure, actually yechoytzes umafsi cloud, it was not a barrier between her oras and neshama kishibayil ma'elyoyim, kishibaguf. It's no difference. The neshama in Shemayim, the neshama in his body doesn't make a difference. It's all the same. Because the body of Moshe Rabbeinu did not constitute any barrier at all. Because the goof itself became so purified that there's not really a difference between the goof and the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he says, v'zeh, and the reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu was such an honor, he said, v'nachnu mo. V'nachnu mo means that my total goof, my total metzias, I'm mevatel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu's goof, the cloud was not a barrier. Because why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was mevatel. He mevatel totally his goof, he said, v'nachnu mo. V'nachnu mo means nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu mitnei roif shiflusoi, Moshe Rabbeinu, because of being such a shofel, considering himself to be so lowly, the anvoso, his anivis, shechoshav atzma ki laguf enoi, v'om avinachnu mo. From Avinu we find on the other hand, we have already, he didn't say v'nachnu mo, no, he offer vefer. Offer vefer, yeah. Offer vefer means, right, also, gvaldig anivis, I'm like offer, I'm like dust, I'm like ashes, but offer vefer is a something. If it's, as lowly as offer vefer is, it's still a something. So if the goof of Avinu is offer vefer, it's still a something. It serves as a barrier. It serves as an obstruction. It's Avraham Avinu koponim, even though he was also gvaldig yonov, but Avraham Avinu koponim, but he choshen kofer vefer. So now, being that Moshe Rabbeinu, really his goof was b'pchinus neshama, he purified his goof. His goof was like his neshama. It's hard for us to imagine such thing because we're such physical beings. So therefore, being that Moshe Rabbeinu was kula neshama, therefore Chazal say shashchina medaberes mitoch groinu shel Moshe. When Moshe spoke, it's not like a Novi. A Novi received the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Novi spoke with his own tongue. A Novi, all other Neviim, when they spoke, they received the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but who did the talking? The Novi himself, right, with his mouth. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, Shechina medaberes mitoch groinu. Why is that? Why was Moshe zoiche? What does it mean? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had no real physical goof. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina was able to speak right through him. Because when Omra Shechina medaberes mitoch groinu shel Moshe, that the Shechina spoke through the voice of Moshe, with the Shechina speaking, coming out through the throat of Moshe, Machmash lohoya guf etzloi mesach mavdil. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the goof was not a barrier. So Mamela, HaKadosh Shechina medaberes mitoch groinu mamish, he said. That's what it is. Okay. Again, the marshal, of course, now you can enter modern technology, but that has nothing to do with Kedusha. Right? We turn on a radio. You hear, right? You hear somebody speaking. It's not the radio speaking. It's the voice of someone speaking through the radio. Now, Lahavdil, on the other side, on the side of Kedusha, Kedush Baruch Hu speaks through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Kedush Baruch Hu speaking, not Moshe. Coming up through Moshe's voice box comes out the voice of the Shekhinah. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, totally, his goof was so pure. The goof, mamish, was not a barrier at all. It was like non-existent. It was kulay spiritual. So therefore, the Shekhinah was medaberes medar groiner. So we leave this now for here now. And let's talk with some very fascinating things. So akoponim avrom avrom. The neshama, the name of a person defines the neshama. But we have two chalokim in our neshama. One is the pure neshama, that's the uppermost high, that's the degree of the ikar chelik of the neshama, is the shamayim, that's the first Avram. The second Avram is the chelik that we have down on this world, which is now surrounded by a guf. Upon the name of a person clearly depicts and defines the essence of a person. Now, let's take a look about that a little more. And we come the first item that we have here, you'll see, very, very fascinating. And that's from the Be'er Maim Chaim in Parshas Bereishis. The Be'er Maim Chaim was Reb Chaim, was known as Reb Chaim Chernovitzer. The Be'er Maim Chaim, one of the most classical Sifrei Chassidus. The Mechaber of the Sefer Sedura Shel Shabbos. It has said that if one has not gone through the Sefer Sedura Shel Shabbos, you really have not yet tasted, really, what Shabbos is made on Habon. It's not easy Sefer, though. So Sedura Shel Shabbos, really, he talks about all the aspects and the madregas of what Shabbos Kodesh is all about. And it is said about Reb Chaim Chernovitzer quite a number of things. First of all, he lived in the second half of the 1700s, and he was nifter in 1813, Reb Chaim Chernovitzer. And he was a Talmud of Reb Mechel Mislotchev. Mechel Mislotchev was a Talmud of Baal Shem Tov still. And later he became a Talmud of the Magid who succeeded the Baal Shem Tov. I just want to mention that Reb Chaim Chernovitzer, the Be'er Maim Chaim we were talking about, his father's name was Reb Shloimeh. His father's name was Reb Shloimeh, and had a brother in a distant, very, very far away. Mother passed away without children, so now Reb Shloimeh had to give chalitza to the almona. So he traveled a long, long distance to give chalitza to his brother's widow, and she wanted to really pay him. She was a woman of means, and she wanted to pay him for the hosor sadech, you know, the expenses of traveling. And he said, "It's not sell the mitzvah for money." In any case, it is said that his father had given Eliyahu and said, "You're going to have a son." He says, "He's going to really actually light up the world with his Torah," and that was Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim actually was a Talmud of both. Reb Chaim, the Be'er Maim Chaim, was a Talmud of the Magid. He was also a Talmud of Reb Mechel of Zlotchev. And as we said, tremendous tzaddik. Especially they said that when he came on Shabbos, his whole surah changed. When he came on Shabbos, he said that many times he mentioned it, that he had rented an apartment, wherever it was. And so the first week that the landlord, you know, I had met him for the first time, and then Shabbos he sees a strange person going in. He says, "No, you can't hear it. This belongs to somebody else." To realize that this was like the same Reb Chaim. Shabbos he posted a different surah. He just became such an elevated person. This was Reb Chaim Chernovitzer. Also during the week Kamat didn't eat anything, very very little push it, not too in any way. But when it came Shabbos, there was nothing too expensive for the sake of Shabbos. He would have everything in order for any Shabbos, and there's nothing that would be spared when it comes to the inyan of Kedusha Shabbos. So Lamaisa later on was Oilat Yisrael. Anybody who goes to Tzfas, try to find out. It's right there, not far. Also, in that same area with the Kever of the Arizal and the Ramak and the Mabit, the Beis Yosef, the Alshech. So you also have the Kever there of the Be'er Maim Chaim also. And of course, people go to Dam there. So we're mentioning regarding that, regarding the Reb Mechel Zlotchev, you mentioned was the Talmud also of the Baal Shem Tov. And Reb Mechel Zlotchev was a tremendous mechiach, that whenever he would give musa to people, he was very, very successful being mouths of people b'tshuva. And they set out kereikach that the Rebbe Meilich of Luzhensk met a Yid, and he was traveling, and he just met him, and he said, "Where are you traveling to?" So he says, "I'm traveling to meet Reb Mechel of Zlotchev." So the Reb Meilich said, "I don't understand how you're going to meet Reb Mechel of Zlotchev." "I, Meilich," he said, "Reb Meilich said, when I went to see Reb But Mechalev Zlotchev, he says, I was able to recognize that he can see right through me and sees all my averus. Aren't you afraid to go and meet him? But Melech Saveris, you can imagine what it was already, Melech Saveris. So, this is Mechalev Zlotchev. They say that he was nifted by Shalashudis, Merev Devekis. His Devekis was so great, Porsche, Porcha, and Shmosa, he lost his Neshama. There's nobody there that to pull him down, they shouldn't go so high up. Porsche connected, because he broke in such a way, like something like Nodav Aviu, you know, that the Neshama just, Porsche became such a Devekis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in any case, so let's take a look at the Be'er Maim Chaim over here. The Be'er Maim Chaim says the following. Ba'oid Omru Shom. Chazal tell us, right, regarding Odom Arishon, when the Malachim saw Odom Arishon the very first time, the first man. So the Medrash tells us, Omru Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Odom Zeh Mativoy. Who is this man? You created man. Who is this man? Till now it was only Malachim. Who is this man? Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, who he is? Chochmosim Ruba Mishalachem. He's smarter than you are. Man is smarter than you. As great as you Malachim are, you angels are, man is smarter. Hey, with name is Abahema. The Baruch Hu brought the animals, all the creatures, the behemoths and the chayas, the domesticated animals, the wild animals, the soif and the birds and so on, to Adam Rishon. Lahem, so Adam Rishon said, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Zema Shemoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, try to give the names of each animal. Try to give the name of each animal. They didn't know. It's a chazal. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the animal in front of Adam Rishon. Adam said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said first to Ma Shemoi, So the Be'er Maim Chaim goes to point, what was the chokhmah of Adam Rishon? So he goes down to point out, as we'll soon see, Adam Rishon not just giving a name, he understood the essence of each animal, he understood the shorish of each animal, he understood the genetic makeup, the spiritual makeup of each animal, and therefore only he was able, and the Malachim, as great as they are, don't know the shorish and the essence of the creatures. As he says, V'chein is kanabu'a Malachim. That's why the Malachim had kinnur, right? They had kinnur, they were jealous. V'shu'alu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ma tiva shel Adam zeh. He says, what is this man all about? What was the chokhmah? That he'll be able to give names to all. The Torah tells us, what's the definition of a name? You know what that means? The name is the Nefesh Chayo. The name is the essence, is the Neshama. He was able to understand, to know the different Neshama that each creature had. Kloima. What the pasuk means, nefesh chayo, like korol and shame is l'viseich lanushi. He didn't give names according to stam, to human logic. Kriat soyrach might be necessary. Bechet soyrach, for example, in days of old, people's names were by the trade. If somebody, let's say, was a shoemaker, his name was Shuchmacher. Schumacher, right? So people have names according to the trade that they had. That's Seichel Anushi. These are labels to identify. You're a shoemaker, his name. Somebody who worked with diamonds, your name is Diamond. And these other things. So, but that's what Amrishan did. Amrishan did not give names according to a person's trade to be able to identify him by what he does. He was able to look, to penetrate. He was able to go to the shorish of the neshama of that animal. Which is in the upper makeup, in the upper world. And he was able to understand the shorish, all the olam hasayyim of each creature, and gave the name. The name is the essence of the neshama, way up high. The ikar kriya shemesh olam. Now listen to this. This is a fascinating voice. Don't miss this, please. The ikar kriya shemesh olam. So when you give a name out of bris, listen to this. When you give a name, the ikar kriya shemesh olam, koyahakal nefesh chayo, kloimer. Le'erech ha'nefesh sheboi, the name depicts the quality of the neshama. Sheshem zehu chayusoi. That name is a chiyus. Now, v'al kei shemati, listen to this, it's worth $1 million over here. V'al kei shemati mipi admer. Here he mentions his Rebbe, he mentions a number of names, Remechel of Zlotchev. I heard from my Rebbe, Nezer Yisrael, the crown, he says, the crown of jewelry, not jewelry. Jewelry. Rukidoshoi. Right? Oy Roilam, the light of the world on Bursim. Moreini Yechil Mechel, Zechet Sadi Vikodesh Vavrocha Lechayo Ramabor. She Omali Beferish. Now this was the opinion of a Mechel Zlotchever. And we'll talk about that soon a little more. She Cholilo Lishano Yishem Oda Machoyle. There's difference of opinion, by the way, even different Rebbes, when a Choyle is a Choyle Mesukun. And the idea is, comes up very often, to change your name or not. It depends what you get asked. There are certain rabbis, Bishum Oifim will not be masking to change your name. The others who do, obviously we do. Many goylam, we do. Many goylam. For those who do, it's a many goylam. The Be'maim Chaim brings from his rabbi. Listen to this. Shecholil olishana, but we'll still find a solution to that also. Let's go by droge, step by step. The Nachazvashim has said, Shecholil olishana is shame odom achoyla. Cholil olishana said, to change the name of achoyla, unless, imoy odom shekol maisov kemat beruch hakoydish. Why? Because being that the name is the chiyus of the person, who knows, by changing the name, you are taking away his life force. Unless you have Ruach HaKodesh to know that the new name that you're giving, right, is bound, it fits to the essence of this person. Who can know that? Only about Ruach HaKodesh. So he says again, Cholil Lishama Shemot HaKodesh Mloy Odom, unless a person should call myself Kemat Ruach HaKodesh. Why? Ki Shem HaNikro Lodom Beisiv Oldoi. It's a name that's given to a person at the time of birth. Vadai ruboy kikuroi mizdaven meitzah kol yibachu. Hear that? Which means as follows. Because somebody last week asked a question. He spoke about that the name defines the essence of the neshama. So how did the father of the bris know that? Right? The answer he didn't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the name. But the way it appears to you is you talk with your wife, right? You talk with the grandparents, and this way and that way and that way and this way. Because Baruch is misavid that the negotiation should go in a way that the name that you give is the name that Baruch wants you to give. It plays out down here. I decided, she decided, he decided, they decided. That's the way it plays out down here. But at the end of the day, what guides your Mahalach Machshove, what influences your Mahalach Machshove, or what manipulates your Mahalach Machshove, is Baruch giving the name. Look at that. Look what he says. Because Ruboy Kikula, he says, Mizdamen Mesa Koribahu, Ba'achu Hushmoy Lamailo. The name that's given to you down here, that's really the name up in Shemayim. Because Baruch Hu puts into your mind to give that particular name. The Hu Chiyus HaShalodom. And that name is not just a label again. It's the Chiyus. That's the life force. The name is the life force of the person. Kol Yomov. All his life, the name that he carries. Kashu Chai Apnei Adom, as long as he lives on this earth. Now, if the name is the life force, who more than anybody needs to be pumped in life than someone who's a chol masukin, somebody who's in a life-threatening situation? Somebody whose life is hanging on the balance, the little bit of life that he might have is his name. You hear that? You hear what I'm saying? A person whose life is hanging on the balance, the little bit of life that he still has might be the name giving it. You take that away, you're making it worse. Anyway, that's what Rebbe Mechaim says. That was the opinion of his Rebbe. Let's go further. A choyle more than anybody else needs even more chizik, right? He needs extra life to be pumped into him. Or upon him sometimes, ain lo chizuk acha, he has nothing, no life force, ki umze ha chizik shel Hashem. Sometimes the only thing that's keeping him alive is the name that he has. And if you're going, you remove it. Like they say, right? But the second name that you're going to give him, maybe that second name is only a label. The first name was his essence. First name was his life force. You're changing his name, that second name might just be a label. Benisha beloy, now you have removed a little bit of life force that he had. Benisha beloy magzik achia shaloy. So it's a half of a fellow. Okay, this is what you see here. So this is what the Be'er Ma'arachai says the name of his Rebbe. Now, we're going to find out something possibly that may help us a little bit, maybe to modify what we just said. Now, the second item we have, and this brings us to this, and that is the Be'er Moshe in Parashat Shemos is the second Satan Rebbe, which is the father of the Heintike Satan Rebbes. The second Be'er Moshe in Parashat Shemos. Okay, we're going to do part of it here. He says, "Dina imudah zois mepisfar in the sefer." It is something that is known. Any sefer that you look that talks about names, we find out goydul chin erkom shel shemes bnei Yisrael. We find out the tremendous error, the tremendous value, the tremendous. He says, "What lies in a name?" We find out a name is not just a name, but the tremendous essence and the value. Why? Asher hi shayrish nishmosom and mekoy chiyusom. Because the name of a yid, that's his nishayrish nishama, that's the root of his nishama, that's the source of his life for it. And by the way, he brings down, you see, the course of Bebe Maim Chaim, he brings down what we just learned right now in Pais the Bereshis. Sheshoma mepi harav HaKodesh, harav Rebchir Mechel Mezlochev, the Mahaitama, because of this reason that the name is the life for us. So Mechel Mezlochev said, Cholilo lishamu yishemodam HaKoyle, Torah. Im loy adam shekol maisa bruch hakodesh. Kishem anikro yodem beisivode rubi kikulem mizdavim beisakodesh baruch hu. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the name. Kodesh Baruch Hu understands the name, right? And v'hu cheyusa shalom koyomov, and so on and so forth. V'nei ha'choyel levad yisorach v'chizik b'yosir. Echoyel needs extra chizik. He needs extra life force. Sometimes there's nothing that keeps him alive. Keeps the chizuk shel Hashem. The microphone. If you remove the name, nisha, he remains below marzik achiyus shaloi. That's where the pasuk says by on the Mauritian. He didn't just give a name. What does the pasuk say? The chola sheyikro yolam nefesh chaya. The name is the nefesh. The name that the mission gave, it depicted the nefesh, the neshama of a person. So now he brings, which this is worth, listen to this, what you heard from his uncle. Who's the uncle? Before you get started, Rabbi, Rabbi Yoel. Okay, Rabbi Yoel knew something about names. Look what he says. The chosav moron doidi, the Rabbi Yoel, the ulai ein hakpeda, which that, by the way, saves face for all the situation that we have today. Can we do change names? Many situations. And so the Satmar Rav said, the ulai ena kepeda kim la'aka shemarishin, if you remove the first name in Gansen, and what we do, we add a name. We don't remove the first name, we just add one. So the Rebbe said, possibly the hakpada that Ramechel Zoshev had is to remove the first name. For example, his name is Moshe, change Moshe, no more Moshe Savron. But if you leave the name Moshe, you had Chaim, you had Raphael, so merely adding a name could be that there's no real Hakpada. That's what the Satmar Rav said. The Ulai Ein Hakpada Kim La'akar Shem Orishin. Well, Achlifa Be'achen, to switch it totally for another name. Avla Hoysiv Oit Shem Ala Shem Orishin Shapidomi. So in most situations when we have this case and we add a name, that's what we do, we just add a name, we don't really change it, we call changing a name, we just really add a name, we don't really change the name. So possibly, this would be acceptable, the Satmar Rav said, even according to the Be'er Maim Chaim, which he heard from his Rebbe, possibly. So here you see, with the power, which lies in the name. Now, the Chayin Kozu B'Shem Arizal. This is brought down the name of the Arizal. How do we know the Arizal said it? The Mishnah's Chassidim said it. Who is the Mishnah's Chassidim? Rabbi Menuhin Chai Riki. The people that was us on the trip to Italy, we happened to have the schus in Bologna. The cave of Rabbi Menuhin Chai Riki was the greatest Balabu Kabbalah, the Mechaber Mishnah's Chassidim. They found the cave just a few years before that, which was simply roped around because it shouldn't be abused by those who abuse cemeteries. So just roped around and... That's the place. It's the Mokim Menuche of Rabbi Menuhin Chai Riki, one of the greatest Balam Kabbalim, but the Sefer Mishnas Chassidim. So it brings down Mishem de Arizal. Listen what he says. Ki Hashem Shekoyer Ho'av Lebnoi B'yem Amila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmino B'pif. The name that a father gives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts that name in his mouth. So said the Be'er HaMoshe like this. V'shamati Mizoki Nechot, I heard from Mizoki Metalmidei Kodesh Zekeni HaYetiv Lev. Yetiv Lev was really the Satmar Rav's idea. It was his elder's idea, the Be'er HaMoshe's elder's idea. So he said, I heard from Mizoki Nechot, Sheshoah, who once asked, Midoidi Zekeni HaGoyne Kodesh Mishinive. Shinive Rav, according to the son of the Divrei Chaim, was the son of the sons of Ruf. This Zokin once, he said, he said he once asked the Shinyi Verov, "Shoyomer loy eiz a shame likra lebnoi hanoilad loy." Yeah. Sometimes you go to a rabbi. Listen, tell me what name I should give my son. Go to a rabbi. The rabbi should help him out. The rabbi should decide what the name should be. So you hear a ma'aser that someone asked the Shinyi Verov. Again, Shinyi Verov, of course, was the son of the Divrei Chaim. They asked the Shinyi Verov that he should tell him what name should he give. A father asked the Shinyi Verov, "What name should I give my son?" The seer of Harav HaKodesh Mishinavi. He didn't want to. Didn't want to suggest a name. V'omaloi said, why? Keshem Atinik, because the name of the baby, Shemaim, gives the machshava to the father. Don't give it to me, he said. The father has, in other words, it has been said, once in a lifetime a father has Ruach HaKodesh. You know what? At the time of the bris, you have Ruach HaKodesh to know which name to give your child. So why should it be taken away from you? Because Baruch Hu gives you the Ruach HaKodesh to know which name to give. So the Shinyi Verov says, you want me to suggest a name? No. Because Baruch Hu gives the father. That doesn't give it to me. Doesn't give me the... Because Baruch Hu gives the father, the machshava, what name to give. So he refused to give the name. However, the father was very persistent and insisted that the Rebbe should suggest a name. But the father was not satisfied. So a big issue, some mishamish because he asked the Gabbai, go to the Rebbe, please, pressure the Rebbe. He should suggest the name. She yatsi is a rabbi kodesh mishiva. She pressured the rabbi, al kris Hashem. And then, by the way, this was far away. The idu, and they should, right? And they should let him know. They dilugrav. Dilugrav is a verb that they use for the misal through a telegram. In other words, and the message should come via telegram. So vayikach shegiyah yom habris. Finally, the day the bris arrived, and there's no telegram. So no telegram from the rebbe what the name should be given, and the bris is already here. It's the day of the bris, right? And adayin lo yibosh shum tshuva mishinavu. No tshuva came from the rebbe. So what did the father do? Well, he had no choice. Now the father has to himself give the name. The father himself has to give the name. The witness says, "Yehu the bris shavom avinu," and the bris was done, and the father gave a name. What name did he give? The kol shemai. He saw Moshe. Right after that, the telegram arrives, and the rebbe said, "Moshe." And really said, "Thank you, Moshe." So, see, talk about the Shemai. Like that was the name we're supposed to have. That was the Moshe. So again, so if you go to immediate left, just a little bit, go to the left immediately. You go to the left, and you find the following: the cost of Rebbeinu Yisachar, number 3, immediate left. Yisachar says, "Kimitam zeh." That was the reason. Paroi shina paroi shame Yosef, because the name is defines the essence of the person. You realize what did Paroi do? Paroi changed Yosef's name. What did he call him? Sofnas Paneach. Well, what it means, of course, it has meaning. Sofnas Paneach means he knows how to reveal hidden secrets. Yosef was very smart, so Paroi gave him a name. But why did he change his name for? His name is Yosef. That's his name. So the Yisachar, and not only did he change Yosef's name, but also Vishina Shem Hamialdois. He also changed the name, right, of the midwives. What was the real name? The real names were Yocheved and Miriam. What did he change it? Shifra and Pua. What's the deal changing names? What's he mixing into the names? The names are what the name is. Why is he changing? What's Pi trying to change Joseph's name? Why is Pi trying to change Yocheved and Miriam's name? Let the name be what it is. So the Bnei Soscha, Ki Yoda, because Pi knew, should be Shtanish Mesei Magdoshim. If you take away their holy names, he will be able to influence them. In other words, Paro had a chesed that as long as they have their holy names, which defines the essence of their neshama, he has less chance of having influence that they should do whatever he wants to do, all the gzeiros that he wants them to carry out. So Paro, therefore, he knew, should be hishtanoi shemesei makdoshim. If you change the holy names, Yisrael Mashmosoi, so now they will do the bidding of Paroi. The Yifriku Ol Torah, and they'll remove the Ol Torah. If you take away their essence name, they may lose, right? They may lose their independence and now become, right? They now become subordinate to Paroi. But Bnei Yisrael Shomu LeKoyloi Gleishin LeShemam. But Bnei Yisrael did not listen to Paroi and did not change their name. They kept the name. Okay, this is the idea of the name. So we're going to stop here, Rabbi Isai. We'll continue because there's more here. Actually, maybe we'll be mamshik with the rest of the sheep. We'll see you next week. But just want to tell you, talking about names. So it's interesting to mention that it was something like 2007. There was somebody by the name of Yaakov Siegfried. Does his name ring a bell? I'll tell you who his grandfather was. His grandfather was Rabbi Michal Birnbaum of Sitte Tzfer Yerushalayim. Okay, so Yaakov Siegfried was an einikel of Mashgiach, of the Sitte Tzfer Yerushalayim, of Rav Michal Birnbaum. This is 2007. Rav Michal passed away 2003. Rav Michal passed away 2003. And Yaakov Siegfried, 4 years after his grandfather passed away, he had a baby boy. And he was learning in Lakewood. He had a baby boy. Now everybody at the bris was sure he's going to name the baby after Zayda. The Michal. It's a Zayde. And, what kind of a better name? The Michal, Mashkiach, El Chayid. So I thought it would be a blessing for a child to carry on the name of the Zayde Takru Michal. And besides that also, another reason they were sure that he's going to name the baby, because they already had a firstborn baby, and the first baby was named for someone on his wife's side of the family. So that's his turn. As the second baby boy, so the minig is one for you and one for me. Now the second boy should go for his Zayde, especially Choshev Zayde like Rav Michal. Surprise, Lamaisa, he named the baby Shimon Aryeh after his wife's grandfather. Again, after his wife's grandfather. So people, nobody can understand why this was so. Why did he name it after his Zayde, Remichel? Why did he name it again after his wife's grandfather? So as commented by the Bris, one of the speeches of the Bris is, what you do is you try to explain the name. And that's what this Yaakov did. And he said the following. He said, before Michal passed away, it's interesting, a person, what did he think about before he passes away? That was Michal. Michal, before he passed away, he told the family members that he understood, it's very common, that someday family members would want to name, right, want to name sons after him. However, he said, it's fine, but it's a condition. That it is a situation where the almona of the other grandfather still alive named the baby after her husband. So the almona will have a shtikl nachas ruach. She'll have a comforting pleasure knowing that her husband has a name. Rav Michal's wife had passed away years earlier, but the other grandmother was still alive, her husband alive. So he named the baby, as Rav Michal said, after the other Zayde. It shows the boy she can be Mekayim Gimelos Chasodim, not only when you're alive, but Michal was Mekayim Gimelos Chasodim, but naming the name in a way, even after he passed away. That's it.